This is Spectrum.
Alternative medicine, homeopathy, secret society, hypnosis, the paranormal, alternative energy, UFO abduction, the weird, the wild, and the wonderful.
With your hosts, Tom Theophanis and Scott Jordan.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Spectrum Radio Network on BBS Radio 2. I'm Scott Jordan here with my co-host, Tom Theophanis, and remember, there's no such thing as too much information. Hey, Tom, how you doing there, guy?
Good, good. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good. Another week gone by, and we got a great guest I've been looking forward to for quite a while now. Yes, you want to tell everybody who it is and what her credentials are?
Yes, tonight we have Mary Tocco, who is one of the most tireless advocates of childhood vaccine awareness. She has almost 30 years of research experience and has joined forces with her daughter, Dr. Renee, who is a licensed chiropractor and founder of Hope for Autism. Mary is on the board of directors for the World Association for Vaccine Education and also the director of vaccine research and education for Michigan, opposing mandatory vaccines. She speaks around the U.S. and Canada, and she's on a passionate mission to reach the parents with the truth about vaccine toxicity and injury. Hi, Mary. How are you?
I am awesome. I'm so glad to be a part of your program. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. You know, where I'd like to start is where we usually start, is just a bullet point on how you got involved in vaccine research and that history.
Well, I am very fortunate. I do not have any vaccine-injured children, but before I had my first child of five back in the 70s, my husband and I had to look at this whole issue of vaccinations, and we really believe that children just don't need all the vaccines that they are being recommended. And we did a lot of research. I did a lot of reading. It was like my passionate mission to decide what we were going to do with our own children. We decided not to make our children have any vaccines. In fact, we believe that children do not need a lot of drugs if they're healthy. And so basically it went back to that whole philosophy and theory that healthy children don't need drugs. Plus, my husband was a student at the chiropractic college at the time, and he was learning all about natural immunity, the benefits of natural immunity, and natural health care. So we embraced what I call a vitalistic health care approach. We just decided that we were going to do everything we can to raise our children natural, and that, of course, meant not doing the vaccines. And then when my children, I had three children in the state of Michigan, they were going to remove our philosophical exemption. And when that philosophical exemption was at threat, I got involved with a group, and we formed a group called Michigan Opposing Mandatory Vaccines. And I was actually asked to testify before the Michigan Health Policy as to why a parent would not want to vaccinate. And we defeated that bill, and to this day, Michigan has three exemptions available for parents who don't want to vaccinate their children. So, you know, parents just need to sign a form and get their kids in school and daycare and in other activities. So that was the beginning in 1994 of my passionate communication about vaccines. I really enjoyed standing before them and submitting scientific research and data explaining why a parent would not want to vaccinate. And so in 94, that's when I started educating parents in our clinic, and then I got invited to speak at offices around the country. It's just been a spiral. You know, over the years, I've just done more and more lecturing and more speaking. Then I developed my website. And in 2003, I went more national and basically have been going strong ever since.
And you have a DVD out. Want to give out some information on that? Are vaccines, I got it here in my hand. Are vaccines safe? Presented by Mary Tocco. Are you confused about conflicting opinions?
Well, basically what I found, Scott, was that parents really, really, really want information because they need to make an informed vaccine decision. And everywhere I went, parents would say, we need more, we need more. How can we connect with you? And although my website was a great source of information, I decided I needed to make a DVD. This is before anyone was talking about DVDs. There was very little information on the internet. We're talking about 2004, 2005. And so I released my DVD in 2006. And okay. It is still accurate information. It is still foundational information that every parent needs in order to make an informed vaccine decision.
Right. And that's the point, becoming informed. Okay. So then you started going out and doing speaking. You now have a radio show. Maybe you should give us some information on the radio show and people want to listen. You have doctors and all kinds of people on your show.
Yes. My program is called Healing Our World. I believe that it's one thing to expose the problems that make us sick, and that's what I do, is I expose ways that we become ill, whether it's through our food, environmental toxicity, vaccinations, over-medications, just all of the things that we are being bombarded with in this country and around the world that cause us to be ill. And then I interview leading physicians from all walks, whether they're immunologists, biochemists, regular medical doctors, osteopathy, naturopathic physicians, homeopathic physicians, authors of books, parents who are recovering children with autism. I interview people who are out there doing what I'm trying to do, and that's make a difference. We're trying to bring cutting edge information and tools to the people so that they can begin to heal their own bodies, their own families, and their own communities, and in the process, I believe, we'll have a better world. So basically, it's republicbroadcasting.org, and my program is every Saturday from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock Eastern Time, and people can just log into republicbroadcasting.org and listen live, and cool. They can also call in with questions. So,
oh, that's great. That's great. Do you have a listen live button on your website? Or is it
yes.
better just to go to, okay.
No. They have to go to Republic Broadcasting.
Okay.
That's how they listen live.
All right. Tom, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Mary, what are the main concerns of parents when they talk to you about their children?
No doubt it's about vaccine ingredients. I believe the safety concern. Really, if it wasn't for the explosion that we have of chronic illness in this country and in Canada and around the world because of vaccines, parents would just go along with the flow and do what their doctors tell them to do. But so many children are sick, and so many parents. I've been speaking to parents, thousands and thousands of them, over the last 15, 16, 17 years. And every parent I meet face-to-face or through my emails or whatever says, my child was doing well. My child was fine until I went in and got my child vaccinated. And sometimes it's the third set of vaccines or the second set of vaccines or the fifth. But I hear it consistently that it's the ingredients in vaccines that people are so concerned about, and rightfully so. Because if you get nothing out of what Mary Toko says, know this, none of the vaccine ingredients that we have currently in all vaccines have been ever tested long-term for safety, none of them. And this is a huge problem when you consider the amount of toxicity and the vaccine ingredients.
Yeah. Well, today in the Toronto Sun, since we are, here in Toronto, they have a big article saying that they're going to be spending $23 million to boost the vaccine policy here in Ontario. And it states that starting August, the government is offering the retrovirus vaccine, which is a combined measles, mumps, rubella, and varicella vaccine, all in one. Kind of scary.
Very scary. Very, very scary. That's the big thing. They want to increase the number of vaccinations, but they know parents are not going to go in and allow a doctor to inject 10 different needles into their baby. So what they're doing is they're combining these vaccinations into what I call a vaccine cocktail. None of these have ever been studied for long-term safety. In fact, Tom, you and I know that we would never sit and take 10 different medications or drugs. We would never mix alcohol and medication. And yet they say that it's perfectly safe to inject into our children all of these different vaccines and ingredients and adjuvants. And we, the common knowledge you know, we can just sit here and think about it. Would you ever inject into your body 13 different vaccinations at once?
Of course not.
No.
And basically, that's what they're doing. They can give your children up to 13 vaccines in just 2 or 3 injections, and that's what they're doing.
I'm trying to remember when we were younger. How many injections did we have? I mean, I remember the one that I had in my left arm, the one that I guess is for.
Well, when we were younger, we only got 2 to 3 vaccines. Now I'm in my 50s, mm-hmm. and we were the first generation to ever be vaccinated. Before that, they weren't doing it, okay? So we have to remember that the scale of vaccines has increased so dramatically and so quickly that what these kids get now, they're actually getting 38 to 40 vaccinations by the time they are 2 years of age.
Ridiculous.
It is totally ridiculous. It's never, ever been studied for safety, and that's the biggest concern. So what they did is they began to increase the number of vaccines in the 60s and 70s as they, first of all, discovered that people were going to willfully come in and get them because we trusted our physicians. And also the whole science of vaccinology was being developed. They knew very, very little about the immune system and how it was responding to the vaccine, and that's a whole other topic that we can touch on, but they really didn't understand how the immune system was responding because the science hadn't caught up with that. The immune system, the understanding of immunity had not even really begun to be developed, but they began to increase the number of vaccines. So by the 1970s, they also discovered that children do not respond to one vaccination, and so they went and they increased the number of vaccines then. So it's really been an ongoing gradual increase. And of course now I said they get 38 different vaccinations for 38 to 40 different vaccines for multiple diseases by the time they're two years of age.
What about the ratio to body weight for the, because the children are, they don't weigh very much and yet they're getting these injections. There's different amounts to what you would get, a large 200-pound man, but these are little children. What's the ratio to body weight?
Very, very, very good question. And this is why vaccines are so unscientific. Vaccinations are a one-size-fits-all, and that is just not scientifically, that doesn't make any scientific sense that one vaccination, what we would give a huge football player who weighs 300 pounds, we would give the same dosage to a two-year-old child. And just to give you an example, Dr. Robert Sears, a medical doctor, wrote a book called The Vaccine Book. And he gives out what is called an alternative vaccine schedule, which, by the way, I personally do not endorse. But one of the good things that came out of his book was that there's a lot of aluminum in the vaccines. When our government, of course, did the hearings about the mercury in vaccines, they phased out mercury and increased the aluminum. Now, vaccines still contain some mercury, so let's keep that in mind and put that to the side. But okay. They increased the aluminum because aluminum is an adjuvant. All vaccines must contain an adjuvant. But aluminum is very toxic. We all know that aluminum is toxic. And Dr. Robert Sears discovered that the first day of birth, when a baby gets a hepatitis B vaccine, that baby is getting 250 micrograms of aluminum. And then by the time a child goes in for their well baby visit, their first two-month checkup, they're going to get approximately 1,225 micrograms of aluminum in that set of vaccines. And the only safety study ever done, which was done on it's called parenteral nutrition or enteral nutrition. It's the nutrition that babies get if they're born prematurely.
Okay.
Little do people know, but there's aluminum in that nutrition, which I didn't know until I read this book. I was shocked to think that we've been injecting and ingesting, giving it to brand newborn babies that are born prematurely for years and years. But the amount of aluminum in that nutrition, they've done studies, and they found that anything over 10 micrograms for a brand new child is toxic to the kidney and can cause severe neurological delays by the age of 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we know that by the time a child in this country and in Canada, if you get the same vaccinations, that a child will have 4,925 micrograms of aluminum by the time they reach 18 months if they get all their vaccinations.
Wow. That can't be good.
No, it's terrible. And yet that's standard. That's standard. And so when you think about that, an 18-month-old baby could maybe weigh, you know, 25 to 30 pounds, maybe 35 maximum. And they're getting all that aluminum injected into the human body.
Okay. So what exactly is an adjuvant?
An adjuvant, and anyone can Google this. You know, this is common knowledge. An adjuvant is something they put in vaccinations so that the vaccine has an ongoing immune reaction. It causes an ongoing persistent immune reaction. And basically, it's an irritant. And that's why they use heavy metals. I mean, heavy metals are an irritant. And so adjuvants are in all vaccinations. A vaccine is ineffective without adjuvants. And most of the adjuvants that they use, and you can Google a whole list of adjuvants, are toxic, carcinogenic, do not belong in the human body, and are put there specifically so that the immune system continually gets this irritation and will eventually respond.
Okay, I see. Now, do doctors, general practitioners, do they know about what is in the vaccines and how they're produced? I mean, do doctors have that, the GPs have that knowledge, or are they just sort of, is it part of their training?
No, it is not. In fact, on my DVD, you'll see that I have a Dr. Philip DeMeo, who gave me a chapter on my DVD. And how I met Dr. DeMeo was he is a regular medical doctor plus a toxicologist and also a family practice doctor. He went to two different medical universities. And like a good doctor, he vaccinated his only son. And unfortunately, Dr. DeMeo's son, I think it was his third or fourth set of vaccines, ended up having such neurological injury that he ended up with a feeding tube and regressed into severe, severe autism. And that's when the blinders fell from Dr. DeMeo. And Dr. DeMeo found me in early 2004 and said, Mary Toko, I totally believe that what you're doing is right. Doctors are not given this information. He said, I knew nothing about vaccine toxicity, vaccine ingredients, how they're made. I was never taught basic immunology and how the immune system functions and how vaccines cause a totally different reaction. What can I do to help? And I said, Dr. DeMeo, I would love you to give me a chapter in my book. And he agreed. He's going to be writing in my book, but he gave me a chapter on my DVD. So basically, Dr. DeMeo, as well as many other honest medical doctors, will tell you they do not learn anything about vaccine ingredients, vaccine toxicity, adjuvants of vaccines, production. They are simply told, here are the vaccines. This is all the good that they've done. Promote them, and here's how you implement them. That's it.
Okay. A lot of the
I was saying this in this article here, they were pushing the fact that, certain diseases have been eliminated due to vaccines. And I kind of wonder about that. Was it the vaccines that did it, or our own immune
system? Or was it just our own immune system, or the fact that... I remember reading a study once that one of the diseases had, by the time they came out with the vaccination for it, it had gotten to the point where almost nobody was getting, was having that problem anymore. But they came out with the vaccine and said the vaccine cured it.
Actually, all of that information is very, very flawed and very, it's toxic information. According to the World Health Statistics Annual, who studies the, you know, infectious illness decline, they say that there had been a steady decline in all of these infectious illnesses before vaccines were ever even introduced. And it was because of improved sanitation, improved water supply, and improved better nutrition and, you know, distribution of fruits and vegetables. And this is why I have many, many charts and graphs and other researchers who have also proven that vaccines had little or nothing to do with the decrease in these infectious illnesses.
And you hear that a lot. I mean, you hear stuff like, well, a lot of the answers are, well, vaccines cured measles, or vaccines cured this, or vaccines cured that. When in fact, it's not really the case, is it?
No, it is not the case. Vaccines, like I said, were not introduced. The first vaccine that we introduced on a grand scale, of course, was smallpox. Smallpox was a devastating vaccination that caused more people to die, not only in this country, but about around the world. On one of my radio programs several weeks back, I had a vaccine researcher who has researched vaccines on an international level. His name is Raymond Obobzawin, and he basically gave me charts and graphs that he produced showing that in other countries where they implemented the smallpox vaccination, their sudden infant death rates went up 50% immediately. This has been documented. The World Health Organization was involved in the documentation, and they were greatly concerned. He also goes on to show that in all other countries, and I'll send you some of these charts and graphs. He references references Canada, tuberculosis, all these other graphs, that none of the vaccines did anything to eradicate these illnesses, that these illnesses were basically almost completely eliminated and gone before vaccines were introduced.
Wow, that's brilliant. Yes, definitely send me any of that. As our listeners know, I make a YouTube version of all the shows that we do with all of our guests, and I put that on our Spectrum Radio Network YouTube channel, and they can go and see every episode of every interview we've ever done with images and stuff like that in the background of the talk. So you send me all the images you can, and I'll be putting that up there.
I will. I will do that. I will overwhelm you with facts, scientific medical research.
Well, I mean, you know, guys, I've been studying the vaccine issue for a number of years, and what got me into it was my wife. I don't mind telling this story. My wife, we have two other children, and we just had a baby recently. Within the last year and a half, we had a baby. And before that, my wife was, you know, becoming aware of the vaccine issue. I mean, our other sons are 15 and 13, so there's a bit of a distance between the youngest boy and the little girl we have now. And my wife put a lot of time and energy, more so than me. She went right to town on it, and she spent a good year researching vaccines. And when she went to her doctor and told her doctor, "I will not be vaccinating this child," the doctor said, "Can I tell you you're crazy?" And she said, she pulled out a list of ingredients of that are in the vaccinations, and she had all of her research at her fingertips. And by the time she was done with her lecture, she was just quietly let out of the office with no more pushing from the doctor. And that's the fact that I wanted to come to, is the doctors just, I don't think they know, and you confirmed that. So what happened was we just did not do it. And there's a lot of people don't know, as you say, that there is a form that you can fill out in Ontario and in Michigan, like you said. And I'm sure in other parts of the world, it's called the conscience form, or the F2 in Ontario. You can fill that form because people say this. They'll say you cannot send your child to school unless they're vaccinated. And that is just wrong.
You know, I tell people all the time, Scott, that if you don't know your laws and you don't know your rights and know how to exercise them, you are no different. And that's what it is. It's a form of slavery when you have your school system and your doctors giving you wrongful information, telling you that you do not have a choice. And that's why I'm so passionate about educating people about their rights, because we must know how to defend our rights, or you will have people who are profiting off of vaccinations and who believe all of the lies about vaccine safety, who are going to tell you you don't have a right. And so I encourage parents, number one, first get educated. Well, first of all, don't do any vaccination until you have done your research. You know, we have time. When our babies are born, they're not going to school for 5 years. They might be in a preschool in 3 or 4. You've got time, so take the time to do your research and look at it all. And I know it's overwhelming. That's why I created my DVD, years and years of my life researching. And when I take it to the parents, you know, I had to figure out what it was that they needed to know. And as a parent, I'm not a doctor. I'm a parent. I know what I needed to know to make me feel good about my decision and to know that I was making the right decision. And that's what my DVD was made to do. It's to help you sift through all the misinformation and all the conflicting information so that you can really make an informed decision and make your own decision. But if you don't know how to defend your rights, you're going to end up at the end of one of these conversations where a nurse or a doctor or even a well-intended family member is saying, you're wrong. You need to vaccinate your child or your child could die. How are you going to feel if your child gets the measles and dies? And, you know, no parent wants that. And so really it's about right. education.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing that we've heard was, well, if you don't vaccinate your child, then my child is at risk, which makes no sense to me at all, because if they vaccinated their child and if their child is protected in their mind, then how is my unvaccinated child going to be a danger to them? It just doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. And what's really, really paramount, and all of my lectures now, I start with a basic understanding of what immunity is, because when we began doing vaccinations back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, the immunology field was way behind. They didn't understand how the immune system was responding to these vaccinations. In fact, the immunologists had to rewrite the textbooks that they are teaching doctors in immunology with in 1995 to reflect our new understanding of the immune system. Before 1995, all of the textbooks that immunologists were learning from were so inaccurate and so outdated, and they are still updating them all the time, because until we had this big AIDS problem, they really didn't study the immune system. They actually believed that the immune system was a separate organ in the human body that had autonomy. They didn't even realize how the right. immune system was connected to all the other parts of the body. Can you imagine that? They thought that when you inject into the body, that the only thing affected was the immune system. That would be like saying that when I eat food, the only thing affected is my stomach.
Yeah, exactly.
So the whole science behind vaccinology is what it's called, is very flawed and outdated. So one of the things I do when I educate my patients now, or my parents when I talk to them in my lectures, is I talk to them about natural immunity, how it develops and how important it is that we don't interfere with it, and how vaccines do the exact opposite of what nature would do.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, the fact that we're eating better, our treatment of sewage is better, all kinds of stuff, nutritional availability of vegetables, natural health products, of course. People are picking up and starting to learn because of the internet and because people in the alternative media industry are putting it out there that, hey, you know, guys, check out D3. It's really good for you. And putting that information out there, people are getting healthier and healthier and healthier. Now, I would say that the food industry and the pharmaceutical industry are doing all they can to, Codex Alimentarius, of course, was doing all they can to counteract that, in the means of profit.
They sure are. You see, they're losing the marketplace, and they know it. And you and I are noticing in articles all over the country, mainstream media, vaccines is part of a daily discussion now, and it's because of programs like yours, programs like mine, the internet, websites. Information is getting out there to people, and people are making informed decisions, and many, many, many thousands of people are either reducing the number of vaccines they give their kids, or are they completely not giving them at all. And so it is the internet, and you bet they're concerned. They're losing money and marketplace, and it's all about money with them. You know, the medical community is so archaic that it will take them years and years and years to ever catch up to what's really going on. You know, there was many, many years it was told that if a woman is pregnant, she has to supplement with folic acid or her child could have some sort of, deformation. It took the medical community 30 years to acknowledge this and recommend it to pregnant women. So we must realize that it is a very old system that is very inundated with their own bias, and they do not look at nutrition. They do not look at things that are natural. They don't even acknowledge the fact that the body is electrical. It's not just chemical.
Yep.
That, you know, they don't even get it. They don't look at the body as a whole. And therefore, they don't even understand basic immunology and how the immune system develops naturally and how vaccinations go completely against that.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the other things I was thinking of was they use the H1N1 scare to its fullest potential all over the world with the world media to sell the H1N1 vaccine. And that one, I think, was a clue to them that there was a lot of people going, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. How do you get this thing that's a bird, a pig, and a, you know what I mean? It's a mixed variety virus. Where does that come from? And they really pushed the H1N1, and a lot of people came out in the alternative community and spoke up against that one, like a huge wave. Now, mind you, I still have family members that went out happily and got the vaccination skipping down the street. But, you know, you know
they did it so well in the media to scare the crap out of the people.
Yeah.
You know, that they would take one case supposedly that, you know, somebody died, and they would pump it in the front page over and over and over and over. And
I would like to comment on that. My daughter, Dr. Renee Tocco, was asked to testify in front of the CDC because after they pushed that vaccination on the pregnant women, which, by the way, any medical doctor who takes the oath, the Hippocratic Oath, knows that years ago, you would never, ever, ever recommend a vaccination to a pregnant woman. You never recommended strong psychotropic drugs or prescription medications that could cause injury or harm to a pregnant woman. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the pregnant women are being targeted for vaccines, which to me is absolutely malpractice. But that vaccination was known to cause women who were pregnant, over 3,500 women who got the vaccination while pregnant had a spontaneous abortion. Their body discharged the baby because something happened to that baby. That vaccine caused more miscarriages than any vaccine ever reported in history. And it was the first time they were really recommending that pregnant women get a flu shot. And it's no different in 2011 or the 2010-11 flu season. But you know what? Our CDC completely ignores these facts, and they continue to push it. But let me give you a little bit of history on the H1N1 virus.
Please do.
If you go to novaccine.com, which, by the way, is that World Association for Vaccine Education website that I am a part of, and you look up flu vaccinations, you are going to find that the Fluvirine contained H1N1 back in 2006 when it was approved. You'll also find the Flumist vaccination approved in 2007 also contained H1N1. This is not a new vaccination or a new virus. This was a virus that was produced in a laboratory. The gentleman who produced it, his name is Dr. Jeffrey Taubenberger. He was a viral pathologist, and it all goes back to 1997. He was working to successfully recreate the killer Spanish flu vaccine virus that killed so many millions in 1918 and 1919.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind, this is still when we didn't have good nutrition, sanitation, and clean water around the world. So many of these infectious killers did kill people. And it was in the early 1900s, it was really 1930, 1940, when we began to see these infectious killers become pretty much, they weren't causing much death because of the improvements. But anyway, like the dinosaur, that H1N1 virus was extinct. And Dr. Jeffrey Taubenberger, who, by the way, was employed by the CDC, he mm-hmm. went out and he found it. He actually found it in Alaska. They dug up bodies of people who died from that that flu, and they found it in their lung tissue, and they called it H1N1. In fact, Science Magazine reported this in March of 1997. Quote, the virus was recently reconstructed by scientists at the CDC studying remains preserved by the Alaska permafrost, identified it as H1N1. So now we've got the H1N1 flu virus active, right? He was working with the National Institute of Health for years and years and years to create what they called a new flu vaccine for this in case it ever comes around again. Imagine that.
Yeah. This dinosaur ever pops up out of nowhere. Yeah.
Exactly. And we know that the new H1N1 was a triple recombinant made of the swine, the avian, and human viruses. It was fast-tracked. Safety studies were inappropriate. They were not right. And according to my daughter's testimony before the CDC, they basically made this crisis on 30 women who were pregnant who died of some kind of flu. And do you know that not one of those 30 women was it medically documented that it was the H1N1 flu that killed them? Not one.
Wow.
So the whole thing is a flawed a crisis, and it wasn't just in our country and your country. It was all around the world.
It was everywhere, yeah.
It was ridiculous, actually, for a while.
Over the top.
I mean, there was a story up here that I don't know if you guys heard about it, but there was an Indian reservation in northern B.C. You know, these folks are fairly isolated, from many other communities in the area. And the local government made some sort of mistake, and they sent, a whole bunch of caskets over there. And, you know, the elders, you know, said, well, what the hell is that? why are these guys sending us caskets? And I guess soon after, a whole lot of people in the reservation died, and supposedly from the H1N1 virus. And, you know, how would they have gotten it?
Yeah, and how did they know beforehand to send the caskets? I don't know, because it was a human manufactured virus, maybe?
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. Again, it's big money. You know, for years and years, especially after 9/11, our country has been contracted with many, many pharmaceutical companies to come up with flu vaccines. And years ago, they were predicting a flu epidemic or pandemic, and it never happened. I mean, I remember back in 2004 and 2005 getting newspaper articles out of the Detroit News saying this year's flu is going to kill millions. The city of Detroit is trying to figure out how they're going to deal with all of the dead bodies, okay? Mm.
Yeah,
it never happened.
Yeah, and then in the next sentence they say, run out and get your vaccinations.
Absolutely, and it
we
never happened.
We need money.
Right. So to me, this is just a way to make sure it happens. They're going to inject people with viruses that do not belong in the human body. They're biomedical experiments. They're Franken-science. I don't call them science at all. And they're going to ensure that people have some kind of rare illness that they can then call a flu virus and then push their vaccines. It's all about their agenda. And unfortunately, many, many people do not know about the dangers of these flu vaccines. In the United States, they were recommending that children go and get two in one day. They get the regular flu shot in one arm, and then they go and get the H1N1 flu shot in the other arm. This is ludicrous science. Ludicrous. It has never been done before. Humanity has never been bombarded with this type of toxicity before, ever. And so I'm very, very concerned about not only our country and Canada, but the world, because I believe it's going to reduce population.
I was going to actually ask you about that. There does seem to be a bigger, I suppose the only agenda could be profit, but there does seem to be sort of a larger agenda involved here. And, listeners to our show know all the sorts of stuff that we cover, the areas that we cover. I mean, it seems a little bit like eugenics.
It does. And many of the vaccinations, have adjuvants and ingredients in them that can cause infertility in mice. One of them is squalene. Another one is, what is the name of it? I will look it up in just a second. There are some ingredients, though, that we know can lead to infertility in mice. In fact, the Gardasil vaccination has I keep thinking SV40, but that's a virus. That's not it. I'll look it up in my notes as I talk. But the Gardasil vaccination contains, it might be squeen, polysorbate 80 just came to my mind. Polysorbate 80 causes infertility in mice. And the Gardasil vaccination, which is the cancer cervical vaccine that they're recommending all girls and boys get in this country, it has polysorbate 80 in it. Now imagine giving your 9, 10, 11, or 14-year-old daughter something that can cause infertility. And there are other reports, very, very valuable, validated reports out there of how our country has taken vaccines to third world countries that contain polysorbate 80 and other ingredients that would cause women to have spontaneous abortions and also cause them to be infertile. Yeah. Dr. David Ayoub is a radiologist. His name is A-Y-O-U-B. He is an incredible researcher. He's very much against the vaccine program. And he did a whole DVD on how our country has done this. They've actually gone to third world countries, given them tetanus vaccinations that contain anti-fertility medications and caused 30,000 women to have spontaneous miscarriages, and they could never have babies. And there was a huge lawsuit involved. But, of course, the pharmaceutical companies, they get their hands smacked, they pay a little bit of a fine, and they move on. They continue to do what they do. They really don't care.
Yeah, they got their agenda all laid out, and they're just following the rules, you know, I mean, and making a hell of a lot of money while they murder people.
Have you seen the Bill Gates video, by the way, where he is part of this global warming group, and he's talking about population, and he's basically saying that we must reduce population.
Well, a lot of the figures in history of well-known figures in history are eugenicists. I mean, they're all into that. Nowadays, it's not called eugenics. The name has become sullied, so they don't use the name eugenics anymore. Now they use the word transhumanism.
Yeah,
that's their new catchphrase for eugenics. It's transhumanism.
But people can go to YouTube and pull Bill Gates vaccines and population and pull it up, and you can hear him say, and you know, he gave over $10 billion to third world vaccinations in 2010. He is on a mission to make sure every person on the globe is in a registration, a computer of some sort, and Bill Gates is the man that can get this job done, where every single child born in the world is on the computer somewhere, and that their vaccine records are kept and that they are vaccinated. So we need to be afraid of what's coming. Yep. If
he
we
also
don't become
has
busy.
He also put a hell of a lot of money into the seed vault.
Absolutely. So, you know, we are up against a lot. And, you know, I don't really know. Sometimes I get a bit discouraged when I think about the big money that we're up against and the big control. But you know what? I really believe, Scott, that one baby at a time, one family at a time, we can make a difference. And that's what keeps me going.
Knowing that,
you know, we're going to hit several thousand families every time I do a radio program. And so, therefore, maybe we can stop this from happening, at least hold it off for a while.
It's awareness. And I think the H1N1 did more to harm their cause than to help it, because I think that's where they learned a hell of a lot of people are aware and starting to, because it brought it to the forefront. I mean, even the mainstream media mooks were talking about it. They weren't talking about it too much because they didn't want to. You know, but the alternative media were all over it, you know, about the H1N1, and that one brought a lot of awareness to a lot of people. I think it helped our case, really, with, you know, I mean, the pharmaceutical industry is making, and this is another thing I want to talk about, and that's Ritalin and drugs that we're giving our children. If they're in school and they're teachers somehow have become magically gotten the ability to diagnose children. If a child is in class and they're fidgeting and they're I don't know, acting like a child would, you know, just being, you know, full of energy and wanting to do things. And oh my God, this is boring. I couldn't take another minute of maths. I think I'll do a fantasy thing in my head and act it out. If kids act like kids, then and they're not proper zombies in school, then the teacher makes the diagnosis and contacts the parent and says, you know, I think maybe you should have your child checked out for ADHD or Asperger's or something like that. I'm noticing some symptoms. What is that all about?
Well, if you really want to know the big story behind that, there is an incredible group out there. People can look them up, CCHR. And basically, CCHR is the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. And what they are doing is they are exposing what's going on with all of the psychotropic drugs that Americans and Canadians and around people, mostly American and Canadian people, are being prescribed. If you go on to CCHR.org, you can get several DVDs for free. And one of them is the history of psychiatry. And on this video, it's actually a DVD, you will see a live broadcast of a meeting that they had back in the 1960s. It was a conference, and they were saying that their goal is to have every human being on some sort of mind conditioning or mind-altering medication by the year 2000. That is their stated agenda and goal. You see, they want the world to be controlled. And the way that we control them is to drug them all. And they just put out a new documentary called Dead Wrong about how all the psychotropic drugs are killing children. Suicide rates are skyrocketing. And I talked to the president, Carla Moxon, almost once a month, if not more than that, because she is trying to reach parents about, like, if your child is having some problems in school, ADHD, attention deficit, hyperreactive, you know, learning disability. There are natural things that you can do to help your children. And usually a lot of it goes back to diet and nutrition. But I believe a big part of it is from the vaccines to begin with. That if your child was one of the lucky ones who didn't end up with autism or even sudden infant death syndrome, your child is still being affected by the vaccines. They may have learning problems. They may have dyslexia. They may have hyperactivity, ADHD. These are all what I call vaccine injuries, and there's things that we can do to help them. But they are on an agenda to get every child in this world on psychotropic medication. And it's up to us parents to say no. It's up to us to refuse.
What are some of the – I know of Ritalin. What are some of the other – there's lots, right? I mean, they're putting them on basically psychotropic drugs, Ritalin being one of the most well-known, but there's all kinds, right? I mean, drug your child if he's acting out of, you know.
There are so many now. I don't even know the name of them all because, number one, I'm pretty much a drug-free person. And I don't know anyone personally because most of my circle, you know, they don't do drugs. But there's Adderall, there's Lexapro. I'm just looking through a booklet here. There's just so many now. And I tell parents, know that you have options. You do not have to resort to these medications and drugs. You're going to have to do something to change their diet. You're going to have to stop giving them medications and learn a different way of life.
Right. Yeah, and there's for adults, they give them Prozac and all kinds of other stuff, right? I mean, Prozac is deadly, but people just think it's a fun drug.
Yes, and you know, I had my last Saturday, one of my guests was Dr. Bart Billings. And he's dealing with the service people who are coming home from our war zones who are dependent on psychotropic drugs. He said that, unfortunately, psychiatrists have control over our armed services. And when a man goes into an office saying he's feeling any type of fatigue or nightmares or having issues because he's witnessing the atrocities of war, the first thing they do is pull out a pad and write him a prescription. And Dr. Bart Billings said that up to 90% of our service people are taking these medications while they're in the armed services. Then they come home and they cannot normalize. They cannot go back to normal life because they don't know how. Their brain is chemically altered. And right now the suicide rates in the armed services is higher than it's ever been in any of the wars that we've ever noted.
Yeah, well, Prozac is linked to suicide. Huge.
All of those medications, the number one side effect for all these medications, even the ones given to our children, is the propensity for suicide.
Yeah, suicide. What's it called? Suicide, I can't remember the name. There's a technical term for like suicidation or, you know, something like that. But a lot of the people on these drugs commit. And they put 13-year-old girls on these medications, girls that are going through the, you know, the change into womanhood. And they have all sorts of hormones going on in their body, which is normal. It's been happening for thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years. But now they add a drug for that. And they'll put these young girls on drugs. And these are perfectly happy girls that are participating in school and life. And they go through, you know, that the hormone thing. And the doctors give them Prozac or something like that. And 3 days later, they commit suicide.
Yes, it's really sad to see what's going on with our children and our youth. And, you know, vaccines is where it begins. Unfortunately, it starts day one in the hospital. And, or now it's starting with women who are pregnant. And we're exposing our children to, you know, mercury in the flu vaccines. Mercury is still in the flu vaccines.
Yep. Thimerosal.
And, exactly. And thousands of women got the flu shot who were pregnant. And if they didn't have a miscarriage, their children definitely will suffer some long-term repercussion to being exposed to mercury in utero. It's just not safe.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we're sorry, but we got to take a quick break right now, and we'll see you guys on the other side.
Are you suffering from constant pain in the knee, shoulder, wrist, and other parts of your body? Needle-free acupuncture with Lapingo Life Pads may be the answer. Lapingo Life Pads combine ancient wisdom with modern nanotechnology and advanced engineering. They're designed to relieve pain naturally with no needles and no side effects. That's Lepingo, lapingoproducts.com.
Hello, this is Scott Jordan, and I would personally like to thank all of our listeners for their emails of encouragement. It means a great deal to us. All of Spectrum shows are available in two formats, an MP3 stream you can listen to on our site, as well as a YouTube version. All of Spectrum shows are full-length and free to listen to, and if I have my way, always will be. Tom and myself do all this work out of pocket and freely give our time and effort to giving you, the listener, the best, most informative experience possible. I would also like to thank our listeners who have donated in the past to help with our expenses. Every donation goes directly to keeping the project alive. Thank you, enjoy, and keep listening.
You've always been told to think about the alternative. Well, we can do better. We can show you. AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com will improve your health, well-being, and lifestyle through hundreds of different products, from herbs and well-being products to our large selection of specialty clothing, jewelry, and more. We ship around the world with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. There's always new products and amazing specials. Let us show you at AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com.
Tom, do you have another question?
Yeah, I was going to ask, how does an infant develop natural, normal immunity?
Well, it all starts back in the womb. And again, this is all fairly new information that most medical doctors don't even know. The new immunologists, of course, are learning this, but many of them are disregarding it. But it starts in the fifth month while they're developing. The thymus begins to produce T cells, which eventually become part of our immune system. And when a baby is developing, there's two basic arms of the immune system. There's a Th1 and Th2. Th1 is the part of the immune system that responds to acute illness. It's very, very important that children have acute illness, because when they do, the Th1 of their immune system responds appropriately, and it leads to long-term immunity, which is where Th2 comes in. But this is all suppressed while the child is in utero, because then mother and baby don't fight each other. But as the baby comes down the birth canal and is exposed to natural bacteria and flora that live inside of mother, the baby takes it in through the mouth, the nose, and the eyes and the ears. The immune system, the Th1 arm of the immune system, becomes activated immediately. This is why I am so much a supporter of natural vaginal birth. C-sections are messing this whole process up. But so anyway, let's say a baby goes down the vaginal canal, they're born naturally, their Th1 has been stimulated through the exposure of this natural flora. Then when mother begins to breastfeed, the first milk that a mother gives a baby is called colostrum. Colostrum enforces and reinforces TH1 again, strengthening it and making it the dominant part of the immune system. And the next several months, as baby breastfeeds, the baby is being given all kinds of wonderful support for the immune system, protecting it from all of the infectious illnesses. Now, let's talk about the difference when you vaccinate. When a child, as I said, is coming down through the birth canal, TH1 is stimulated. If they don't come down the birth canal and they end up going through C-section, this does not happen. Then, when we give a vaccination, vaccinations cause a TH2 dominance. So the child, instead of having a strong TH1, will become TH2 dominant, and their immune system, right from the very beginning, begins to malfunction. And if mother doesn't breastfeed, again, the child is not going to get the natural protection that one would get through the breast milk. So then they give baby these Hep B shots day one. So day one, the baby's born, they have a TH2 dominant response. They go in every 2 months and get vaccinated. All of this pushes the dominance to the TH2 arm of the immune system, completely avoiding TH1 development. It has been proven medically and scientifically that when children have a strong TH1 dominance, that they are healthy. They have normal immune systems, they can adapt to stress, and their body does well. And what I believe is going on right now is with all of these children who are getting vaccinated day one and every 2 months, this is why we have a chronic explosion of autism, asthma, diabetes, Crohn's disease, gut problems, food allergies, all of the problems our children suffer with in this generation. And a lot of kids in the last generation had attention deficit, hyperactivity, learning problems, and allergies. And now it's much worse.
Yeah, it is. Because, I mean, you can add to that the food additives and GMOs, genetically modified foods and stuff like that. Monsanto. You know.
Exactly. And then formula. Formula is not the same as breast milk. Formula does not do what nature intended. And see, this is my biggest thing. How arrogant of mankind to think that they can improve on what God or what nature has done. You know, we think we know so much, and yet we know so little about the immune system. I have a study in front of me that was just published in the last couple days.
Okay.
I'm trying to find it. And it talks all about how the immune system, I'm trying to find it, guys. I've been moving papers around here.
It's okay. Do your thing.
But it was a brand new study that just came out. And I'm trying to find it. I pulled it out. I wanted to reference it. And basically what it was saying is we are now beginning to understand why children do not have the proper immune response when they get vaccinated. And it all goes back to the TH2, that these children are getting exposed to vaccines too soon, and their immune system is not responding appropriately. It's becoming a TH2 predominance. And I'll continue to look for it. It was on my desk here.
That's okay. And I can just make a quick reference.
Yes.
Because our child, our baby girl, has never been vaccinated, has never had a shot, it doesn't mean that she doesn't get sick. Now, she doesn't get sick that much. I mean, we can have a flu in this house and completely miss her. She doesn't pick it up at all. But, and this is becoming more so the older she gets, that she, if we do get a flu in the house, she doesn't get it. But earlier on, when she did get a little bit of a flu, she would, of course, we'd share it throughout the whole house, taking our D3 and, you know, doing our immune building work, but we still get the flus, right? So our whole house would get it, and she would get it, like runny nose, whatever, and 2 days later, she's running around the house fine. I'm like, oh, you know.
You know why? There's a reason for that. You see, when people look at this, we call it a cold, a flu, we call it lots of things. The immune system, how it works is a child gets exposed through their nose, their mouth, and their ears, and their lungs, to normal things such as viruses, spores, fungus, mold, mildew, bacteria. As the child grows and develops on this earth, their body begins to respond to all of these foreign things that really are part of our life, and we can't escape them. And how nature has it set up is when the child gets to a certain age, and it's usually about 5 or 6 months, they will begin to run fevers. The fever is a very, very important part of fighting that infectious agent, whatever it is, and dealing with it appropriately. When a child runs a fever of 101, their body produces something called interferon. Interferon is a class of protein that goes in and stops viral replication and kills bacteria. So when a child is running at 101 or 102, it's a good thing. We are taught to panic. We're taught that this is sickness. Mm-hmm. I call it normal immunity. I call it normal immune development. And the whole time that my children were being raised, we allowed them to run their fevers because we understood that the human body is doing this to bring it back into balance. You see, bad bacteria can only live in a very shallow or short variance of degree. So when the body will heat from 98 or 99 up to 101 or 102, those bacteria are going to be killed off by the millions, and the body will bring itself back into balance. So as a result, the child will have a runny nose, because that's how the body gets rid of it, through the mucous membrane. They may have diarrhea. They may throw up. They may stop eating for a while because the body is saying, don't feed me. I'm doing a lot of work right now, and I don't want to digest, and we don't want to feed the bacteria. So stop eating so that I can handle business, you see. And this is all natural immunity development. So it is normal for a child to go through runny noses, swollen glands, diarrhea, throwing up. It's all normal. Also, skin rashes. Babies have skin rashes. They start with getting them on their rear end in their diaper, and they often will have a skin rash after you start introducing foods. This is, again, normal. The immune system is filtering everything out that they get through their digestive tract, and it's filtering it out and kicking it out through the skin. It is considered the final stage of immunity, or the final stage of an illness. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. So our job as parents, I believe, is to support them with good nutrition, lots of good water, make sure that they're eliminating, you know, going to the bathroom properly, and making them comfortable and not necessarily drugging them. I never interfered with my children when they were going through these processes unless my child was so doggone miserable. And like I had one child, my son, who was very, very, very sensitive to everything. And he ran high fevers. When he was teething, he ran very high fevers and had really bad runny noses. And I would put him in a warm bath of water and sponge him down with warm water. And, you know, I would do things to make him feel comfortable. But I never gave a drug, because drugs will chemically alter the immune reaction and will literally interfere with what the body is trying to do. And, you know, keep in mind, babies are on the floor crawling.
Right.
And what do? They put everything
in
their
mouth.
Mouth.
Everything goes in. They need to test it. I think it's a tactile thing. They need to find out what it is.
Well, their immune system is saying, introduce me to your environment. Let me know what bacteria, what viruses, what foreign things I'm going to have to learn to deal with as you live. And so it's a very normal thing. Children will always, always put stuff in their mouth. Now, I'm not condoning letting our kids just, you know, eat dirt and everything. But I will tell you right now that when my children were being raised, I wasn't that concerned. If it was something toxic like a plant or whatever, of course. But when they would put things in their mouth, I didn't panic. I never, ever recommend people using antibacterial soaps or antibacterial sprays in their home. My gosh, think of what we're doing to our environment.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of those things have toxic things in them as well.
Exactly.
And it is very important for people to get the nutritional information and learn that, like, there's, you know, there are alternatives that you could be feeding your children, and fresh produce and local fresh organic produce is healthy. Try to stay away from the GMO, the genetically modified foods, and there's vitamins and stuff that you can take. And usually the recommended doses of the vitamins are completely wrong for a reason.
Right.
They don't want you to know the amounts that you should be taking, so they keep the amounts really low. I don't know the exact amount of vitamin D3 they recommend, but it's really low, and it's ridiculous, because your body gets D3 from the sun. If you go out lay on the beach all day, you're getting D3, right?
Right.
You're getting all kinds of other stuff, but you're getting D3 in your body. And you can absorb all kinds of that. You know, your body will take what it needs and not use the rest. You know what I mean? Flush out the rest. So if they say you need, say, 200, you know, there's a lot of studies that say, no, more like 5,000.
Right. And part of the problem is our children don't play outside like they used to. They're not getting the fresh air and sunshine like they used to.
It's true.
They're in the house. They're in daycare centers. They're watching TV. They're playing games. They're not, you know, they're not getting the activity. And I am a huge advocate of sunshine. I do not use sunscreens unless they're natural.
Oh, hell no. The
totally.
Stuff of the sunscreens is worse than the sun.
And I totally promote feeding our children organic foods, like you said. You know, people say, oh, well, organic food is so expensive. Well, when you do away with all of the GMOs and the processed foods and the garbage, the pop and the soda and the munchies and the, you know, sweets, when you do away with all of those things, you can afford to buy good, wholesome, chemically free grown fruits and vegetables, as well as hormone free meats. Even if you can't do it for your developing child, because you are helping them develop their body for the future of their life. And
exactly.
I think the biggest thing is being informed and doing what we can in our homes to ensure that our children have the best opportunity for health, because they have to run this world someday.
Mm-hmm. And do the research. Don't always trust that the doctor knows what. Because when it comes to the case of vaccinations, you know what? They just don't.
You know what I tell people, Scott? I ask parents, why do you need a pediatrician?
Yeah.
Why? I have children, five of them, and started raising them in the 80s and never, ever used a pediatrician for anything. There's no law that says you have to have a pediatrician. You can choose to go to another type of physician, someone who's not going to push drugs down your throat. Like, you can use a chiropractor as your primary care physician,
yeah,
who's going to understand nutrition and going to tell you how to detox and cleanse and educate you. You can go to a naturopath. You can go to a homeopathic physician. You can use a midwife for consultation. You can basically be your own doctor. We never, ever really had to utilize medical doctors for anything unless it was an emergency.
That's right.
We did. And that's when we went to the hospital for broken bones or whatever. But I ask parents all the time, if you don't go to a pediatrician, you're not going to get the pressure of the vaccination. I encourage you to learn everything you can about health, natural health care, by listening to programs like this and my radio program and books and DVDs out there on the subject, and just completely avoid doctors, and your children will be far better off.
Yeah. I think there was a study done that said X amount of deaths for improperly prescribed medication, and that was the number two killer. The number one killer was properly prescribed medication.
Absolutely. I do a whole lecture on how to raise children nature's way, and I start out with that very study. And it was a national, I would have to pull it up to reference it. It was a 7-year nutritional study done by Gary Noll and his group. I don't remember the name of the study, but they found that absolutely there are thousands and thousands and thousands, if not millions, of people that die every year from properly prescribed medications and drugs. And my advice is, don't use any kind of drugs or medication or any medical people unless it's an emergency. Then, by all means, they're the best, you know.
If you fall down a flight of stairs and break your arm and your leg, then, yeah, you should probably go to the hospital.
That's where I believe crisis care is. You know, medical doctors, thank God for them when it comes to crisis care. And
well, you have a lot of doctors on your show.
I do all the time. My whole show, absolutely. And I have some sit on my board with Hope for Autism. I have the utmost respect for medical doctors who are doing the right thing. I do not appreciate medical doctors who are nothing more than drug pushers, whose work all day is writing on a prescription pad.
Yeah, pharma whores.
Exactly. They don't understand nutrition. They don't understand natural immunity. They don't understand how to promote health naturally. They don't even understand the holistic idea that the body can heal and repair itself if supported properly, you know?
Exactly. Tom, do you have another question?
What's the biggest concern that we have for our future now, for the kids?
I think that they are, unfortunately, coming into this world with a huge problem that they have to deal with before they even get their first breath of life. And that is, of course, vaccinations and pregnancy. And also the fact that we have three generations now of vaccine individuals. So the mothers and the fathers who are conceiving these babies are also vaccinated. And they will carry toxins right along into their children genetically, setting them up for failure. So I'm very, very, very concerned about this generation of children who are being bombarded with, like you say, genetically modified foods, vaccinations, environmental toxins. And then we have this government that is getting involved in our daily life, that are trying to tell us what to do, where to go, where to work, who to listen to, who not. I'm very just concerned about our whole world.
And just to mention, Codex, again, Codex Alimentarius, where there's the government trying to get involved and say, you know what, health foods are bad, don't take those.
And I believe you guys have that active in Canada right now, don't you?
We do.
Yeah.
And they're saying that it's going to pass in the United States soon.
Yeah,
and
vitamin C against the law.
I know. So we must become activists. That's the bottom line. Every one of us must become activists. We cannot let our governments take this type of control in our lives. We must fight back with education and information. By the way, I want everyone listening to this program to feel free to email me and get on my email list. It's mary@marytoco.com. That's MaryTocco.com. My website is childhoodshots.com. And when you buy my DVD, you support me and you help me continue to do what I do. This is my full-time passionate mission and my full-time job. I have also a CD available, which is an hour-long overview of my DVD. My DVD is a two-DVD set that goes into 3 hours of nothing but medical documentation and research, a lot more than we can go into here on the show.
Absolutely. But it was one of the main things when my wife went into this research. This DVD, Our Vaccine Safe by Mary Toco, came into her hands, and it was one of the main things that educated her on a lot of this trouble. And now, of course, there's a lot of doctors out there doing research in this area, but you were pretty much on the ball right from the get-go, and it did a great service to us. So I would highly recommend getting the DVD, Our Vaccine Safe by Mary Toco. I support it and recommend it fully.
In fact, why don't we do a special for your listening audience, Tom and Scott? Why don't we do this? I will make it available. Anybody who buys three or more, I'll give them 50% off their order. And they go to my website, and at the checkout page, I will go ahead. The coupon code, we'll just call it, you want to call it Spectrum? Or
call it Spectrum, yeah.
Spectrum. We'll put Spectrum in the coupon code. And then when they put that coupon code in, if you buy three or more DVDs, I will give you 50% off your order right across, because really my mission is to reach more people. And you all have audiences I don't have. Everyone has family members who are going to have a baby, or a neighbor down the street, or a teacher at school, or a mother at church. And all you have to do is simply hand it to them and say, please watch this, because there's a lot of information that you do not know about vaccinations, and your baby's counting on you to make it a good decision for them. So I will go ahead.
I know somebody who bought 10 of them and handed them out to friends and relatives.
In fact, you know what? I'll do the same for my CDs. My CDs are very inexpensive. And if you buy five or more CDs, I will take 50% off of that as well.
Okay, well, that's awesome. We'll put that information up on our site as well in your bio. In your bio information, we'll have a page on our site that'll have your bio information. We'll put that up there.
Thank you.
I think another thing I want to cover is fluoride in the drinking water. Now, a lot of people are going out and buying bottled water, and they don't even look at the label to see what the ingredients are, because they think, oh, it's just water in there. But, a lot of the drinking waters you buy, even, not to mention the fluoride they're putting in the tap water, but there's fluoride in the bottled water as well. And what are the dangers of fluoride? Can you cover that a little bit?
A little bit. I wouldn't consider myself an expert, but I've been researching it for about 25 years. Fluoride is a toxin. It causes neurological changes in the brain. We know that Hitler used fluoride to make his people easy to manipulate and control. There are movements across the United States to get the fluoride removed out of city water. Some cities and states have been successful, so they're no longer putting it in. Fluoride, by the way, all of the fluoride that comes in the United States comes from Russia, believe it or not. It comes in big barrels. Okay. Comes from Russia. And so when you think about that, that doesn't sound very good. And then it's simply put in many different forms and given, of course, to the dentists. I attended a Lyme disease conference in January of this year, and there was a gentleman who spoke all about the fluoride situation in dentistry. And I'm actually going to have him on my program in the near future. But fluoride is a terrible neurotoxin, and it does cause, it causes us to be easily manipulated and is a source of mind control. So I am totally against fluoride. I personally, I'm very fortunate. I live in northern Michigan, and I have really good well water, and I try to drink that whenever I can. When I'm out of town, I try to find spring water, but there's also really good water filtration systems that you can get in your home and use on site. Not all of them will take out fluoride, so you need to really investigate it.
No, look into reverse osmosis for removing stuff like that.
And also the Big Berkey has a fluoride removal system that you can add to the Big Berkey, from what I understand.
Yep.
So
it's very difficult to remove.
Very difficult. We have options, though, right?
Yes, that's true. We do have options.
You mentioned Lyme disease.
Yes.
That's an area that not very many doctors nor people know very much about.
Lyme disease is rampant across the world. It's spreading like crazy. And I'm not a Lyme disease expert, although I will be attending a Lyme disease conference I've been invited to attend in Germany, which is taking place in Augsburg, Germany. I'm going to be there the 27th and 28th of May. And my reason for going is networking with all these doctors, because they heard me speak in the United States, and they were absolutely astounded when they learned about the vaccination connection. Mm. I have my own theories. I believe that we are seeing Lyme disease in young children now. I believe that Lyme disease is something that could be spread through vaccinations, because many of the vaccines are developed on animal organs. Hamsters, guinea pigs, rats, monkeys from Africa. And so I do believe that Lyme disease could be spread through the vaccinations, because now we have children all over the United States who are suffering with Lyme disease. And that used to be the only way you got Lyme disease is if you were bitten by a tick, a deer tick that was contaminated. Yeah. Now they're finding Lyme disease in almost every rodent you find in the natural world. So I think that vaccinations could be a source of Lyme disease for young children. It's a very, very invasive disorder. If somebody has a tick bite and they remove it improperly, they'll have what is called a bullseye. It's a round circle that forms around where the tick bit you. And if you have that, very, very, very important, and I'm not one who is into antibiotics, but if you get that bullseye, you had better get on antibiotics right away, because within 3 days, that Lyme disease can spread through the blood system and get into every organ of the body. By day 10, almost every organ in the body can be exposed to that Lyme, and that's when it becomes a real problem for people. But I interviewed on my radio station, again, my archived radio stations can be gotten through republicbroadcasting.org. But I interviewed Sue Vogan, who puts on the Lyme Disease Conference here in the United States. The name of her conference is Peer Observations, and that's P-E-R, Observations. And she has a newsletter. She herself is a Lyme disease sufferer, and she has pulled together the top Lyme doctors in the world who are attacking Lyme disease from a natural point of view. She wrote a book called Lyme Disease Experts, and it is 10 of the top doctors who she interviewed on her radio program, by the way. She also has a radio program. If you Google Sue Vogan, V-O-G-A-N, You can see that she has a radio program, and she talks about Lyme disease every weekend on her radio program on Sundays. I've done her program many, many times. I'm a huge fan of hers because she is bringing natural alternatives to treating Lyme disease to the forefront in this country and is connected with other Lyme disease conferences throughout the world.
What are some of the alternatives?
You know, many of them are the same as what we do for autism. Detoxing the body, building the immune system, getting rid of heavy metals, herbs. There are very, very specific herbs that she recommends. I don't know them offhand, but in her book, The Lyme Disease Experts, you can learn all about them. She has helped many, many hundreds, if not thousands of people get their Lyme disease in remission to where they are feeling normal again, but it becomes a way of life. It is an ongoing, lifelong process of keeping your immune system strong.
Yeah. What are the, how do you, to flush the body of metals, what are some of the things you can take?
Well, I first of all recommend that you work closely with a laboratory or a doctor. I don't think this is something that people should just randomly do. You must find a natural physician who is trained in doing what we call chelation therapies.
Okay.
And before anybody would ever do these types of testing, and this goes for autistic children, or before they would ever do any type of recovery work, I recommend that they do proper testing. And tomorrow on my program, I'm going to have a woman from Great Plains Laboratory, and we're going to be discussing all of the tests that are necessary to determine how a person is ill or sick, from whether it's vaccinations, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, Lyme's disease. There's certain tests that should be done to kind of figure out your mode of attack.
Right.
And if you have a high level of heavy metals, you must make sure, first and foremost, that your gut, your whole digestive tract, your colon is functioning really good, so you cannot suffer with constipation. If you have a sick colon, you've got to heal that first.
Right.
There are several cleanses that I love. I've got one right here somewhere that I plan on doing myself. I think it's called Dr. Oh, boy. And by the way, I don't get paid to endorse any of this.
No.
I don't get paid. These are things that I use in my own life. And I think it's called Dr. Detox.
I wanted to ask you about autism. And are there any studies out there that connect the vaccines to the autism problem?
Yes, there are. And unfortunately, as you know, many people remember Dr. Andrew Wakefield. He was working in the Royal Free Hospital in Great Britain. And his job, he was an enterocolitis specialist or a colon specialist. And his job was to look at chronic illness and its relationship to the gut. And he discovered that many children with autism were coming in with severe gut problems. And he looked at all of the medical research to see if there was any indication as to why they would be suffering in this way. And there was no mention of gut problems. So he went on and he did a study. It was a scientifically based study. He had the approval of his hospital and the support of many, many medical facilities. And of course, when he released his study, what happened was he found that there was a direct link with the MMR vaccination and gut problems in these children. And all he said in his study is that it warranted further research to determine if, in fact, the MMR vaccination could lead to autism. And simply by stating that in his study, they went on to discredit him. I know Dr. Andrew Wakefield personally, and I will stand by him, my reputation and everything. But the United Kingdom General Medical Council charged Dr. Wakefield with unethical conduct and various conflicts of interest. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book called Callous Disregard. I'm sorry. Nope, that's not the name of it. Let me pull it out here. I'm sorry. That is right. Callous Disregard, Autism and Vaccines, The Truth Behind a Tragedy. And he just released this book in the last couple of months.
Ooh.
And I just spoke with Dr. Wakefield. I actually invited him to come to one of my lectures, and he showed up in Austin, Texas, and we did a presentation together, and he explained very specifically how they framed him, how none of this information is true, that the media completely lied, and that his research was valid, and that many of the doctors involved with the research knew that they were going to get ostracized and therefore they backed down because they were afraid of losing their career, which is basically what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
So people who want more information can Google Callous Disregard, the book, and you can actually order it, and it goes into the whole autism MMR connection.
Wow.
Then, shortly after that, there was another research paper that came out about the MMR vaccination. And the website or the group that did this was the Center of New Jersey Life Science Group. And I know that the link I used to give out is no longer there, and I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that somebody didn't have it pulled. But this is a quote from Dr. Linda Olivier Perrier. She said, "Our life science group is prepared to meet with the scientific community to explain the model as well as the variables that create the perfect storm resulting in autism." And what they found out is, I'm going to actually pull it up, and I'm going to, I don't have it in front of me. But she found out that some of the adjuvants and the toxins in the vaccines go in and interfere with the glutathione production. Glutathione is a necessary enzyme, I guess it's an enzyme, that helps to carry out toxins.
Okay.
And they found out that some of the ingredients in the MMR and other vaccinations literally interfere with glutathione and therefore lead to autism. So that was another study. Then we have studies. There's one called the primate study. This study was also working with Dr. Andrew Wakefield. And what they did, it was the first time they ever looked at unvaccinated monkeys and comparing them to vaccinated monkeys.
Okay.
Now, you would have thought that this study would have been done 80 years ago, you know, being that monkeys and human beings are very closely related in ways, not that they're, I don't believe in evolution, but that our bodies are similar. This study had never been done on a large scale to determine how are the monkeys going to develop neurologically and physiologically if we vaccinate them. So this study was done. They took 13 animals that were taken from birth, and all 13 animals were given the Merck hepatitis B vaccine containing thimerosal, as were the American children up until 2003. Four of the animals were given saline placebo, and three were given no vaccine, so a total of 20. So you had your control group given no vaccines,
mm-hmm.
Your control group given placebo, saline placebo, and then the Merck hepatitis B vaccination. And the results of the first part of the study is that the unvaccinated animals developed normally. The vaccinated infant monkeys showed delays in three critical reflexes that are essential to survival. One of them was suckling. One of them was recognizing sounds and then motor skills. They found that infants who were at lower birth rate were at greater risk. The reflexes associated with this study are controlled by the brainstem, which regulates heart rate, breathing, intestinal function, and many other functions in the human body. And the quote by Dr. Laura Houston, who helped put this, she's a medical doctor who helped put this study together, said, "These findings give us cause for concern, especially for low birth weight and preterm infants who might be more susceptible to functional brain injury from vaccinations. They do not say whether it was the mercury or the vaccine, but they were able to prove that the part of the brain where there is no blood-brain barrier is vulnerable to the toxins in the vaccination causing early brainstem injury."
Right. It's difficult to say whether it's one ingredient or another because each vaccination is a toxic cocktail of many different things. The amount of ingredients in each vaccine would surprise people.
It's true. And, you know, the thimerosal mercury issue is not a closed issue. People think that, oh, the mercury's been removed, vaccines are safe, and that is the farthest from the truth.
Yeah.
And there are some current studies that have been done on thimerosal since they supposedly reduced the amount of mercury or thimerosal in vaccinations. And by the way, many of the vaccines still contain trace amounts of mercury, which is still considered unsafe. But if I have a minute, I will reference some of the studies that have been released on the whole mercury issue.
Go ahead.
Well, 2007, the Journal of Toxicology and Environmental Health did a whole article on thimerosal in vaccinations. And this is the quote. The ambiguous and largely unchecked place of thimerosal in pharmaceutical products, therefore, represents a medical crisis in the modern day. With no warning, recall, or ban of mercury in vaccines and other drugs as of yet, the victims of this mandated, unwarranted, and massive mercury exposure is still the unsuspecting public, and most especially, its unborn and newborn children. Because you see, many vaccines given to parents or mothers while pregnant contain mercury. Another study, Neuroendocrinology Letter, 2008, maternal exposure during pregnancy may disrupt the development or even cause the death of a fetus. It is clear from this data that additional mercury research should be undertaken in the context of evaluating mercury-associated exposure, especially from vaccines and thimerosal-containing Rogam vaccines administered during pregnancy. You see, if a mother is Rh negative, she's given Rogam vaccinations during pregnancy, they have never been tested for safety. They each contain 25 micrograms of mercury, and they are given up to 3 vaccinations. So there's another study.
Right.
2008, the International Journal of Risk and Safety in Medicine, referencing autism. It says, biological findings in autism that are consistent with mercury poisoning include elevated oxidative stress, depleted levels of glutathione. There's that tricky word again, glutathione. Yep. Neurochemical irregularities, gastrointestinal distress. Again, Dr. Wakefield found gastrointestinal distress, immune dysregulation, and generalized and neural inflammation. All of these are also well-documented effects of mercury poisoning, and specifically mercury poisoning in infants. Autism is a modern disease.
Yes, I agree completely.
And I've got many more, but I don't know how much time
and a human
we have.
A human-created disease as well.
Absolutely. It is a man-made epidemic.
Yeah. And I think there's a reason behind it. I mean, that goes beyond profit. I mean, profit is a big one because the pharmaceuticals, put it this way, the pharmaceutical industry is not there to cure you, because if they cure you, they lose their profits. If they can just medicate, and get you on a pill for the rest of your life, then they're sending the guys around, the thugs around, making the monthly, you got to make your monthly payment, you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's going on there. I mean, and that's the problem, is they don't want to cure you. We've been looking for a cure for cancer for how long now? They don't want a cure. There's no money in a cure.
Absolutely. And, you know, anyone who comes out with a natural, you know, cure, so, or something that can help a person recover from cancer, which they can, of course, what happens to them?
They get killed, usually, or
absolutely.
They either get killed or they get discredited. There's a big a campaign to discredit them. I mean, there's all kinds of stories. I mean, we've interviewed people on free energy and free energy devices that have been discovered, and you know about Royal Rife, of course, and his work.
I am vaguely familiar, but I believe that biofeedback and frequency work is awesome. And in fact, Dr. Billings, who's on my radio program and is working with post-traumatic stress distress, says that they use biofeedback to help normalize these people when they come back from these war zones. Exactly. And so you're right. Anybody who does anything that results in a cure or a major improvement outside the medical pharma model gets ruined or destroyed.
And this is broad. This is across the thing. Back when Tesla was working on free energy, and, J.P. Morgan didn't know he was working on free energy. He thought he was just working on an alternative energy system. And he was putting these towers up and work like that. And when Tesla came into the office, and he said, we're almost ready to go to get this thing active. And that way, everybody in the world will have free energy. And J.P. Morgan went, wait a minute. Free energy? No, I need to be able to put a meter on this thing. Where do I put the meter so I can get a monthly, you know, a monthly amount of money from this. And Tesla said, well, there's no meter. It's free energy. It's energy from the vacuum. You can't put a meter on that. It's just, it's there. It's ambient. And that's when Tesla, J.P. Morgan, shut the entire program down, had the tower dismantled, and that was the end of that story. I mean, we all could have had free energy decades ago. And anybody who gets in that area, if you build the better motor, you don't get a pat on the back. You either get bought out or you get taken care of.
Yes, unfortunately, there are, like you say, many evil people who are in control of this world. And, you know, I'm a Christian, and I believe that this is all part of perhaps the end times, that, you know, we just have to do what we can in our own lives, in our own circle, in our own families, in our own communities, and do the best we can, because I think things are going to probably get worse before they get better.
Yeah.
As a Christian, you know?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, I'm not a religious person, but I'm definitely spiritual. God, I hate when people say that. And I just said it. I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. But the point is that, yes, we all have to do what we can to make some sort of change in the world, because there's so many things out there, it's almost overwhelming. And all of the topics that we cover and the sort of stuff that you cover, you're covering the human health aspect. We also cover technology and hidden technology and secret technology and black op programs. And there's also all the work that's been done on mind control. Another advice I'd give is just, you know, that box sitting in your house that displays images all the time. They call it a TV. Take that thing and throw it out back, and you'll do yourself a good favor.
I agree. I raised my kids. You know, I don't know if you know this, but I raised my children outside the medical model. We completely avoided doctors unless it was an emergency, and we did not buy over-the-counter medication of any kind. I do believe in pain medication occasionally, and, you know, but I didn't even have an aspirin in the house when my kids were being raised. If I needed one, I borrowed it from the neighbor, no joke.
Well, there's natural pain suppressants.
Absolutely. And I also homeschooled my kids. Four of my five children were home educated. My oldest, Dr. Renee, wasn't. But my daughter, Dr. Leah, she'll be a chiropractor in 1 month. She's graduating from chiropractic college. All of my children are very well adapted socially, spiritually. They can talk to adults and debate anything you can imagine pertaining to the government or healthcare or, you know, current events. And I did that because I believe that we are being programmed, and our schools are programming us and socializing us.
Well, the schools were all, the educational system is a Rockefeller manifestation.
Exactly. Yep.
That was Rockefeller laying that down. And, you know, the decrease in the amount of education in our school system is mind-boggling. Here, memorize this and regurgitate it back to me. No critical thinking involved. Don't ask why.
Right. So I encourage parents to literally look at what they're doing and make decisions to do it differently, or you're going to end up with the same result that everyone else has. And, you know, so basically that's what I did, is I did everything different than most, and I have no regrets. I'll tell you, my children are, I've always been very close with my kids. I've never had the terrible twos, the terrible teens. We never had any of that. And I really think the key is getting away from, like you say, television. We did not have a TV on unless it was a movie that I picked and chose while my kids were growing up. And
My kids are 15, and my older boys are 15 and 13. They've never seen a TV show. If they've ever seen one, they've seen it at a friend's place or something like that, and they just don't pay any attention to it because it doesn't enter their consciousness, other than the fact of being annoyed by it. Just this noise in the background that they're not used to in their home environment.
Good. So, I'm glad to hear that. There's a lot of people like us out there, you know. There are, yes.
There absolutely are. There's a lot of people right now looking deeper into alternative medicine, looking into sort of the way they see the world and the mainstream media. They're looking at it more like programming now. Like, you know, they don't call TV programming for, you know, no reason. It's programming. They're programming you. And there's a lot of that stuff out there that's just out there to make you think a certain way. And if you don't know any better, tough luck.
Yes. You know, I often, like you, might even get discouraged, but I have a great quote that I would like to read from Margaret Mead.
Go ahead.
Because I believe that people like you and I who are on a mission to expose the truth of what's going on and empower people to make a difference in their life and in their community, starting with their own home, you know, their own health, I believe that we can make an impact in society, and if nothing, hold off some of the evil that would like to destroy us. But this quote says, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. And that was by Margaret Mead.
Yeah.
That's a great quote.
Well,
yeah.
Most definitely, we have to start, you know, from the beginning.
We're actually running out of time. So if you would quickly give your website and what your radio show is and what days it's on and what station it's on. And what we'll do is we will link your information about your website and your book on your bio page for your interview. If you'll just quickly give that out, and then people can contact you and get more informed.
Absolutely. My website is childhoodshots.com, and my email, for those who would like to email me, is mary@marytoco.com. And my radio program is heard on republicbroadcasting.org every Saturday between the hours of 3 and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And they can go right to the website and listen live. We also take call-ins and questions from all around the world. It is an internet as well as a satellite radio program. So we are literally getting other countries involved. And if anyone would like to schedule me for a conference, I am a conference presenter. I love reaching people on that way. They can simply go to my website and contact me through my website, or they can email me, mary@marytoco.com, and we can get something on the calendar for that. Otherwise, basically, my DVD special, I'll announce it one more time. If anybody calls from this program, on the page where you check out, there's going to be a coupon code. Put in Spectrum, S-P-E-C-T-R-U-M. And when you buy 5 or more of my CDs, you'll get 50% off. And 3 or more of my DVDs, you will get 50% off.
That's great. And we'll put a link to that as well. So that's awesome. There's so much we could cover, really, honestly. I mean, to dig down in the detail, because you also talk a lot about nutrition. You don't just cover vaccines. You talk about everything. You have all kinds of doctors on your show. And you said earlier you're in your 50s, but if anybody goes and checks out Mary's page and looks at her picture, you'll realize that there's a woman who looks like about 20-something there. And if you don't think she's living well, then, you know,
well, thank
she's
you
definitely
for that.
Living well.
Oh, and I do have a huge Facebook presence, too, but unfortunately I'm up to my limit on guests. So what I can do, I have Mary Toco Radio on Facebook that mm-hmm. people can like. Also, if you want, you can like me at Autism Vaccine Resources.
Oh, good, yeah. Yeah, you can make up multiple pages on Facebook.
Yes, and that's what I'm doing because I have several thousand people who want to join my Facebook at this time, and I can't take any more on. So I'm basically saying if you like those two other pages, I will post everything that I post on my regular site, which is Mary Toco. Mm-hmm. I will post it on those other sites. Oh, and I have a third one, Injured by Vaccines.
Oh, okay.
So
that's another Facebook? Okay.
Yes. So if somebody has a vaccine injury they want to share, this is the place to do it because, people have so many stories, senior citizens, grandparents. A young woman I met recently was delivering. In fact, she was one of my radio on my radio program a couple weeks ago, delivering her baby, her twins, in the hospital, delivering her babies. and they gave her two vaccines while she was on the delivery table that she knew nothing about. She went into cardiac failure, was completely gone for 7 minutes. She ends up with a seizure disorder now, and she didn't even give them permission to vaccinate her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And this is the sort of stuff that's happening nowadays.
Absolutely.
They have a program running in the hospitals that they'll do things to people and not even tell them they're doing them.
Exactly.
That's absolutely true.
Isn't that ridiculous, though? And when she called me to order my DVD and I heard her story, I was like, oh, I've got to get this on my radio program. Mm-hmm. She said, yeah, they gave me a DPT and an MMR shot while I was delivering my first twin, my first of my twins. And by the time she delivered her second one, she was already in cardiac failure.
It's insane.
Isn't that crazy?
And you have like literally thousands of these stories of people that are just having trouble with vaccinations and pharmaceutical companies and the drugs that are out there. It's hopefully we'll get to the point where I don't think we should be a completely free drug free. I would like that, but I mean, there are, for those people who don't know about the natural substitutes, there are all kind, nature has been kind enough to provide all kinds of natural herbs and plants and things that you could take that would give you the same effect naturally without all of the added stuff that comes through the pharmaceutical industry.
Right, because pharmaceutical drugs are derivatives of natural herbs that God, I believe, put on the earth for us to utilize. And that's my whole thing, is there's, for no matter what kind of problem you're dealing with, there is a natural, non-invasive alternative available that you should seek out and use first. Now, if that doesn't work, then by all means, turn to the medication and drugs. But I'm all about doing things natural first.
Yeah, there's always going to be a way. Okay, well, thanks for your time, and we appreciate it. Tom?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next time again.
And we'll catch you guys next week. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you, Tom and Scott. I really appreciate you guys, and we'll keep in touch, okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.